Hey everyone, it's Allison Jordan. We're just popping in to say we have our one-day conference coming up on October 26th, 2024, and we're really excited about it. What's it called?
Being a Therapist in 2024, Carving Out a Space to Pause in a Rapidly Changing World. The day is going to be about acknowledging what it is like to be a therapist right now while learning and also connecting to other therapists.
Everything you love about Edge of the Couch, but in person.
And we're so excited to be meeting at the Jane headquarters in North Vancouver, not only because, as you know, we love Jane, but also because the venue space is so perfect for us.
There's enough people that introverts can kind of do their own thing, you know, big enough that you can get lost in the crowd, but small enough that you can talk to every single person if you wanted to.
Yeah, it's going to be a perfect mix.
Intimate, but yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really great. We'll also be there, obviously. So we'll be networking with everyone, connecting with everybody, welcoming you there on the day. And we've said it a million times, but we are so excited to meet you in person. You can find tickets right now at Eventbrite. So you can go to Eventbrite and search for Edge of the Couch or search for Being a Therapist in 2024. Or you can find tickets through our link in our bio on Instagram at Edge of the Couch Pod.
And if you buy tickets before June 30th, we have an early bird pricing. There is a limited number of early bird tickets, though, so you might want to jump on that.
As we've been planning this conference, Jordan and I have been reminiscing about attending the Evolution of Psychotherapy conference together when we were still students and how it was such a formative experience and it really cemented our friendship. And we like
so true.
Go back to that in our heads all the time. Yeah. And we shared such mm-hmm. special moments there. So don't feel like you have to come alone. Bring a friend, bring a classmate, come with your cohort. We'd just love to see you there.
See you there.
Before we get into today's episode, let's chat about our sponsor, Jane.
Jane is an all-in-one practice management software designed to help you create charts for your clients, book, schedule, process payments, and literally run your entire practice online.
The team at Jane knows our time is valuable, so they've created online intake forms to help you spend less time on paperwork and more time with your clients.
To streamline our intake process, Jane makes it easy to automatically email intake forms at the time of booking. We can gather patient data, consents, insurance information, and payment details all before the client even walks through the door.
And to help them remember to fill out their forms, Jane has us covered with a friendly email reminder sent 24 hours before their appointment.
To learn more, head to jane.app/guide or use the code EDGECOUCH1MO, so EDGECOUCH, numerical 1MO, at sign up to receive a 1 month grace period applied to your new Jane account.
And now, on to the episode.
Welcome to Season 6 of Edge of the Couch. We are here to create a space to delve into the topics that were either shied away from or dismissed because they were too big, too nuanced, too risky, or too uncomfortable to talk about in school or even supervision.
Edge of the Couch is not training or supervision. It is for student therapists, new therapists, and therapists wanting to continue to explore their evolving therapist identities and ways of working. When we are talking about clients, please know we are deeply committed to protecting client confidentiality. We are two passionate therapists and good friends sharing our personal opinions about the therapeutic process.
Come join us at the Edge of the Couch.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Edge of the Couch. I'm Allison McCleary.
And I'm Jordan Piquel.
This is a topic that someone reached out to us about. It wasn't even like a question. It was kind of just like, hey, I like when you talk about this. Can you say more? The phrasing that we use when we say that we are fellow travelers with our clients. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about what that means, what we mean when we say it, what the framework looks like, and really how it informs the work that we do with our clients. Jordan, where would you start if someone were to say fellow traveler? What does that mean?
I was introduced to this topic from Yolen's book, Gift of Therapy. Mm-hmm. Were you introduced to it before? Or was that like your first?
I don't even remember. I don't even remember if it's in Gift of Therapy.
Oh, yeah. It's like an entire chapter. I think it's an entire chapter. Yeah. That was introduced by him in his book, Gift of Therapy, which is the first book I read about therapy, I think. Let's talk about what it is. Like, what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
In terms of the therapeutic process. It's a metaphor.
Yeah. It's a metaphor.
I think it's a way to look at the therapeutic work that we do that is different from the medical model, that is different from other models, wherein perhaps there has been emphasis on the therapist as the expert and the client as the person like seeking help or in need, that puts the client and the therapist on different levels, however we think about that. So there was a lot of, I mean, we think about Freud doing therapy. We even think about, you know, Rogers doing therapy. It just looked very different. And that this is the evolution of feminist therapy, of existential therapy, of kind of humanist driven therapy to say, wait a second, what if I wanted the relationship to look different than expert and person seeking expert? And this, I think, Fellow Traveler is that. It's how can we recognize that we are just two people in the room as often as possible?
With our own, yeah, experiences and identities, but also we're both continuing to grow on this life path. And I think this is, true that we continue to grow. Like when people talk about human development, it just, it doesn't just stop when you turn 21 or 25 or whatever the age is. It's like lifelong.
Yes.
And so we continue to grow and change as we, you know, when I was 24 versus when I'm 34.
Totally.
The fellow traveler metaphor is moving us away. Well, it just completely blows up the idea of the neutral therapist. It's like, oh, you're actually a human with your own, you know, perspective and your own experience. You have your areas of unawareness and your flaws as much as maybe the person that you're sitting with. They happen to be the person who's coming to you for support.
And it's funny that we're naming it as metaphor, because I actually think it's both metaphor and literal. It is metaphor in that we're talking about like the therapeutic journey, which is this, you know, abstract thing, and it's an experience and it's this like umbrella. But then literally we are sitting across from these people and we are the ones making eye contact with them. We are the people sharing space with them, whether it's virtual or in person. There is a literal journeying that happens like with our clients that is much more tangible than like, ah, whatever this like abstract thing is, like journeying. It's like, no, I'm literally the person meeting with you once a week over a course of time that is like temporal and changing. And that feels very like concrete in some ways too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's a very central framework metaphor, but maybe there's a continuum, but I do think that some people have a service provider medical model sort of perspective. And then there are other folks who are like, hey, you come on my couch and we talk. And there's more of this vulnerability and there's a casual nature to the reciprocity in the conversation.
Yeah, I think reciprocity is huge in this, that we emphasize or celebrate that the energy is bidirectional, that like, a client is not just giving us, I don't even know, like complaints or what's wrong or presenting problem. And the therapist is not just giving like, here's what to do. Mm-hmm. It's much more like complicated and intimate than that.
Especially over the course of several years working with some of my clients and thinking about how we each have changed.
Yeah.
Even by each other. Like we've been changed by each other. Mm-hmm. I've grown having sat with them and known them and witnessed their work and learned about myself in being together, let alone all the work that they've done.
Yes.
And yeah, it's just so, so human.
I think we hear the phrase like human first, therapist second a lot, at least in our circles, that there's like kind of this little phrase, a catchphrase, motto, whatever. But I think the practice of human first is viewing the therapy. You don't have to use the phrase fellow traveler if like that's a bit too woo-woo or whatever, like you don't love that, that's fine. But if you view the therapeutic work as a relationship that is special and sacred and different, that you don't view yourself as this, you know, person on a pedestal who has all the answers, that's where we really sink into like, what does it mean to be human first?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can get into like mistake making, which we've talked so much about. And like, that is very human. And there's also about like viewing the therapeutic relationship from a human first fellow traveler lens. It just changes the whole way the work looks.
Something that comes up for me when I'm doing the work and I have that front of mind is that when I am saying something that I know is informed by my own experiences, whether it's with working with other clients or it's my own personal outside of therapy experiences, I will own that based on my personal experience. Yeah. So it may not be true for you.
Yes.
if I were in that position, I might feel insecure.
Yeah.
In the situation that you're talking about. Yes, it's sort of projecting onto them, but it's not doing it mindlessly. It's like, I know that I'm bringing this, and I'm not saying this as a therapist. This is what's going on here.
Yes.
I am diagnosing this situation.
Yes.
It's me knowing, because of my own lived experience, this is a possibility of what you might be experiencing. And I could be wrong.
I do think that when we look more at a medical model or we look more at a manualized approach, there might be instances where a therapist is saying to a client, you're insecure. You saying this makes me believe you're insecure.
Yep.
Versus what you just said, which is like, I would feel insecure based on how things have happened for me. Does that fit for you? First of all, I just think it's much more rich because we're wrong so often that if we were to just always say it as if we know it, we would just be wrong. And I think it breeds like connection. And if I'm your client, there's a moment inside my head, maybe I say it, maybe I don't, of like, oh, sometimes Jordan feels insecure too. That's good to know. Because she seems so together. She seems so secure, right? This can happen. Our clients can think of us as, you know, professional or, you know, got it all figured out. But when we allow them to glimpse that we are also there with them, that is not a thing unique to them or to only like broken people or whatever. Healing can come from that place.
It's also a reminder that we're two different people.
Oh,
so it can be like, oh, I don't feel insecure,
yeah.
But you do in that situation. I don't have to take that on as like, oh, I guess you're telling me I'm insecure.
Yes.
That must be how I'm feeling. But it's like, we have these vulnerabilities that are unique to ourselves.
Yeah.
And I have my own and you have your own. It's very, that very mutual understanding, empathy, and also just differentiation. We are different.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Oh, I love that we're naming this, because a fellow traveler is not, hey, sometimes we're in this together. We are, you know, sharing an experience. Your experience mirrors mine or vice versa. Fellow traveler is like, I'm here with you no matter what you're experiencing, even if it's vastly different from what I think I would be experiencing or what I am experiencing right now. It's not like we're twins traveling together. It's like we are both just our own people in this conversation together, figuring out what's going on together, bringing so much stuff to the table individually that can make us very different. And that's okay.
I think some people unconsciously, maybe I'm talking about myself, some people unconsciously start modeling themselves after their therapists, you know, of like, oh, this is what wellness looks like, or this is what resilience looks like. It doesn't have to look the same.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just more room to do things differently.
You and I have talked about, Jordan, that we actually are okay and in fact really celebrate when clients disagree with us or tell us that something hasn't worked that we've kind of sent them off to try, because we can't assume that what works for us or what worked for 10 other clients is going to work for this person. In this model, there's space of like, that didn't work for you. We're going to try again with something else, versus, well, I only came equipped with one option. And if it isn't working for you, it must mean there's something wrong with you. As this fellow traveler, it's like permission to be in the messiness with the client instead of feeling like I have to have the answer. Like loops to like imposter syndrome, loops to like when I don't know what to say, links to all these other conversations we've had. When we step into the room, assuming that we have to be the expert, I think our anxiety skyrockets.
Yeah. And like have it all together.
Yeah.
And that whole thing about being super young and being like, I don't know anything, and knowing that I didn't know anything. Right.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, wait, I can own the fact that I'm young.
Yeah.
And be like this. And I remember saying this to a few clients at the time, like, I have what I've learned in school that I'm going to bring. And I bring myself as a person, but I'm not a parent. I'm not all the things that I wasn't at the time. I'm not going to pretend to be somebody that I'm not. I do have some skills to bring.
I have some skills, and I'm going to stay in the shit with you. So like when it is hard and when it is messy and when it is painful, this fellow traveler is a commitment of like sticking around. And again, of course, I'm not talking about like if a client is abusive or, you know, not paying for services, whatever. I'm talking about in the 99% of therapeutic relationships. Yeah, I don't know everything because I can't, but I'll be here to figure it out with you together.
Some things are coming to mind around maybe not limits, but things to keep in mind around this way of work. I mean, you mentioned one or like around mistake making and how it's not just like full permission to like kick your shoes. I mean,
carte blanche,
totally kick your actual shoes off, but like still be in your role, but be human. We want to be careful to live our ethics and our values. But some things that came to mind when I'm thinking about fellow traveler is one, that not everyone resonates with that language. So
100%.
If you use that language and you see their face kind of turn, try to find different words to describe what you're talking about.
Oh, you mean you're the therapist talking to a client?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yes. It's a hard sell. Therapist too. Either way. It's a phrase that can really illustrate what the experience is, but I think it's actually better to describe what you're talking about. Because if you're just like, we're fellow travelers, people will be like, okay, like, sounds great. But
or they're
going to
be
idea.
Like, what?
Yes.
My therapist, as I was crying, was just like, it's okay. We're fellow travelers.
Yes. We're fellow travelers on this journey. Some past clients of mine have hated on the word journey. You say the word journey and they'll be like, or they'll say that about other people. Like, oh, they said, you know, oh, I'm on my journey. I get it. And I'm just going to like, if I haven't used that word yet, I'm definitely going to use that word at some point.
I love
without realizing
the word journey. Especially
some people
as a therapist. And that's completely valid.
And I think that's true for fellow traveler too. Evolution. So being able to describe it for yourself, if you don't like that language, or for the client, whether they like it or not, just to explain what you're even talking about. So like, I'm going to be a person and show up, and I'm also growing in this human life of mine, and I'm going to change. Maybe I'll lose some people, or there'll be illness, or there'll be like all kinds of things happen. We're going to grow together. Like, I have my own unique perspective. Another thing is that it's a mistake when people have this idea and their idea is, I've already arrived there.
Oh,
so I need to tell you when I was where you were.
Yes.
This is what helped me, which I think there's some
there's
room
space.
For that.
But
there's
delicate.
A certain mindset of like, I was where you're at right now. And let me tell you about it. Way to just foreclose on further discussion, because the whole point is their journey is different than yours. So just because you see yourself reflected in their feelings or the baseline situation that they're in, you don't give them advice. We're not giving people advice to get through what we got through in the past.
Yes. And I do think there can be not advice in that way, not like do this, but I do think that it's okay, at least in my opinion, to say to clients, there was a time when I was there, again, not when it's like the first time they're mentioning it, or like really emotional for them. They're like, I've been there, right? Like, don't be condescending or infantilizing. Mm-hmm. But I think I have said to clients before, you know, I've been in a similar place. Here is what I've tried. Do you want to like learn more about that? Please know it's okay if it doesn't work for you, you don't like it. So I think that there's something around like being thoughtful, being tentative, really like encouraging autonomy that slips us back into the expert place. If we're like, oh, been there, done that. And I'll tell you exactly the 10 step routine to get there.
It's a different frame than what you're talking about though. Cause what you're saying is, I'm on my journey. Mm-hmm. You're on yours. Mm-hmm. I was at a place where it looked very similar. And this is how I got through that rocky time. While the person that I'm thinking about, or the way of speaking about it that I'm imagining, is that the person is going, I already walked along that path.
I see. I'm done.
And you're behind me.
Yes.
And I'm going to show you how to get through it.
Right. Ugh. That doesn't sit right with me.
But I think some people will hear a fellow traveler and that's the image that will come to their mind. Like, I'm further along.
How do I encourage you
on the journey
up the mountain?
Than they are.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where that idea that therapists have it all together is wrong.
I also think it's very easy as a therapist. We've talked about this when it's like, we have a gut sense of where that client is going in terms of shifting or changing, or like we see a puzzle piece connected that they haven't articulated yet.
Mm-hmm.
It can be really hard to slow oneself down as a therapist to say, whoa, 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 they are not there yet. You need to slow your pace, if we're imagining two people walking down a path, to stick with them. You do not set the pace, the client does. But I've certainly been there where I can feel myself wanting to like sprint up the hill to like, let's get to the realization here. Let's click these pieces together. Like, this is clearly about your sister or whatever. And having to go, wait a second, come back, meet the client where they're at. There's no point in sprinting ahead. It's not fun for anybody. You don't win just because you figured it out as a therapist. And we can't force clients to see something that they don't want to see yet or can't see yet or don't have the space to see yet.
Or they don't think it's important or...
Or it turns out you were wrong, which again, happens a lot if we, if we just assume everything. I think one last thing I'd like to add, just, you know, you're kind of adding these little warnings, is that being a fellow traveler with clients does not mean being boundaryless with them, right? Sinking into the humanity is not like, well, we're people, so, you know, none of the ethics apply, as you kind of said. And so it is this very delicate but important balance of like having policy and understanding why you do and understanding your ethical decision-making models and treating your clients like people, being in the trenches with them emotionally. But not, there's like, there can be a bleeding that, or a smudging that happens sometimes of those lines. When we want to put humanity first, I think we can sometimes end up in really tricky ethical situations.
Let me share with you, go into detail about things of my life. It's just like over-disclosing things where we're two people, so I can just be open. And I think that that's sort of the ideal, but that's with the idea that you just have natural boundaries in line. Like, of course I'm not gonna of course I'm not gonna share with you, you know, my sister was in the hospital.
There are things that we do not share with clients for very good reasons.
Being really thoughtful about who you share those pieces with and how it's actually relevant to the person that you're with.
I love talking about this fellow traveler piece. We should write about it. We should write something. I feel like there's something here. We probably would not be the first or the last, but it feels like juicy. As we begin to think about wrapping up, what's here for you? What do you want to leave on the table for folks?
What do I want to leave on the table? I don't know. I guess thinking about how do you, I'm asking the audience here, listeners, how do you understand therapy? Like, what is the metaphor that comes to your mind? Does fellow traveler resonate for you? Or is it more like, I don't know, coach player or like guide explorer or I don't know, weightlifter and spotter? I don't know.
That's a good one. Sometimes I would do like boat captain and like second in command or whatever. What do they call them?
Right. Pilot and co-pilot.
There you go. Yeah.
Something, I don't know. It, and all of those are image. I don't know. There's space to consider what is it, whether it resonates with clients or not. But just for myself, how do I understand my role in therapy and what kind of metaphor resonates for me and feels like alive and like speaks to the experience? Yeah.
So if you're listening, we encourage you to think about how you think about what your role is with your clients, how you want to be going into the work. As always, we want to know what you think. Please send us DMs on Instagram, Edge of the Couch Pod. You can send us an email. Jordan, what is that email address?
connect@edgeofthecouch.com.
You can check us out on Patreon, where we talk about some cool stuff.
Patreon.com/edgeofthecouch.
Thank you, Jordan. And if you have a suggestion for something you would like to hear this season, season six, please make sure that you let us know, because we always want to know what is kind of like hot and here right now and coming up for new and emerging therapists as they're in the work.
See you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Katie here from the Jane team. Today, I want to take a moment to highlight a few of Jane's telehealth features. Jane's one-to-one online appointments make it easy for practitioners just like you to meet with their clients online in a secure and compliant environment. But we know your practice isn't limited to solo sessions. That's why Jane also offers online appointments for families and couples, where you can conveniently meet with 2 to 12 related clients at once. Jane's group telehealth features also come with the tools to enable a client waiting room, blurred backgrounds, in-call chat, a session timer, screen share, and more. If you're eager to get started or you have questions about telehealth with Jane, you can head to jane.app/telehealth to book a one-on-one demo.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at connect@edgeofthecouch.com to tell us what you think, ask a question, or let us know what type of episode you'd love to hear. You can even send us a voice note for us to play in a future episode.
You can support us by giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, sharing the show with a friend, or supporting us on Patreon.
Join us next time at the Edge of the Couch.